is the name of the Bible has a lot to say about gratitude. I want to share with us for the short while. You know, I like to talk to you all, so I won't come down here. Gratitude is the attitude of the believer. Gratitude is the attitude of the believer. If you call yourself a child of God, you recognize and acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, your attitude should always be one of gratitude. Now, I want you to catch I don't have it, so I want you to catch this part real quick. Give thanks in all circumstances. Wait, how many? Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, you've heard me over the years, and even in the last couple of weeks, and we know of all the stressful issues and situations, circumstances, sickness, disease, everything that we have come over. But whenever we talk about giving thanks, we think about the whole thing of being thankful through hardship. Honestly, as a child of God, if you're honest with yourself, and like my daughter would say, I've heard enough of these things, and I like, oh, Father, why it is, how can I be grateful when I go through rough times? That's not the emphasis of my text today, although it's true. But I want us to understand something when the scriptures say give thanks in all circumstances, because the scripture says that this is the will of God for you, for me. Now, understanding that if God has a will concerning you, is to do you good, to give you hope, future, and he's promised you prosperity. Is that not true of God? We know that no good thing would he withhold from them that love him. So if God's ultimate goal is my good, and he says to be thankful in all circumstances, then I've got to understand that somewhere in that, there is benefit for me. It's Thanksgiving, right? Good time to say, I am thankful. But wait, are we giving thanks to a God who needs us to give him thanks because in some way he lacks something, or he has some kind of inferiority complex, or he needs his ego to be stroked? Do you feel that giving thanks to God makes God feel any better about himself? Let me correct your erroneous understanding. You and I giving thanks to God doesn't improve God's status, or any word you want to come up with. It adds nothing to God. Giving thanks to God then has to add something to me. Giving thanks to God has got to do something for me. Otherwise, he will not insist, because God does not, he's not suggesting that we give thanks. He's instructing that we be thankful. So I started to explore this whole thankfulness thing, and I'm like, okay, I could think of reason to give God thanks. The greatest gift given to man is the person of Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle that would ever take place is your conversion. You being born again. A man born once is destined to hell. A man born twice will see God. Ain't no if, but, or maybe. For no man shall see the Father unless he is born again. Are you following me? Now, we understand that to be true. And that's a great miracle. But, think about the whole idea of gratitude, since the Bible speaks so much about it. And I said, gratitude should be the attitude of you who say you believe. When we speak about gratitude, we think of different things. It's very easy to give thanks or to celebrate, like for those of us who have been a great dinner this evening. This is one of the easiest prayer to pray. When you see all the food on the table, Father, thank you for what you've provided for us today. You know, that's an easy time to give thanks. You have all your family and friends, those of us that have all this getting together and stuff. You have people visiting with you. The house is clean. You dust where you didn't dust for the whole year. You vacuum. You do all that you're supposed to do. And in that atmosphere, it's easy to bow your head with people and say, thank you, Lord. When you're feeling for the steak and all you have is crackers and cheese, I wonder how your attitude is towards praying then and giving God thanks, because we give God thanks in all circumstances. All right? You put it up, Robert? Okay, good. So now it's update easier for me to go with. Now, here it is. If we know to give thanks in good situations is simple and easy, but it's difficult sometimes in rough situations and circumstances. Why he say give thanks in all circumstances, good or bad? Since giving thanks in bad situations is hard, and giving thanks in good situations is easy, the both of them bring benefit to me. So I was like, Father, please reveal to us some real benefit for giving thanks. And I came up with a few that I want us to consider. There's another scripture, and since it's up, Robert, put Hebrews 6:10 for me. That's the next slide. God never asks us to do anything he's not equipped us to do, empowered us to do. And God never asks us to be anybody that he's not. Always remember that. Anything God has asked us to do, Jesus did. And anything that God asks us to be, Jesus is. So, what is God's attitude towards gratitude? You all seen Hebrews 6 up there? 2:3. Read for me. Okay, stop. Hear what happened. I hear 3 people. Want to read in concert. Read out loud. If you have eyes to see and you could see it, read. Okay? 2:3. Go. Wait a minute. He's cautioning us about being lazy. He's cautioning us to be like-minded and be gracious and do things. But he also cautioned us in a very subtle way there about something that is considered unjust. Speaking of himself, God says, he is not unjust to forget. Wait. You all read that? To forget people's goodness or contribution to you, he considers unjust. You all ain't seen that, eh? Wait. God is not unjust to forget what? He will not forget your what? Wait, it is Christ at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is he who empowers us to do the work. He gives us the work. He gives us the skill. He empowers us. And you can do nothing by yourself, for it is Christ at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But yet still, after he contributes everything to you, saved you, sanctified you, empowered you, put you to work, give you the work to do, and cause you to do it, he says, since you do it, I will not forget. I am not unjust to forget what? Even that which I invested in you, you are now using it. I will bless you for doing it. I won't forget. Wait. Which one of you gave God something that you didn't get from God? Which one of you sacrificed in some way that God has not sacrificed for you? None of us. But God considers forgetting your labor injustice. You know what is that? That's an attitude of gratitude. That's an attitude that says, hey, I am grateful for the labor, your investment in me. The scripture says this, God is indebted to no man. God owes no man nothing. So ain't no way you could work for God or do anything for God and God would leave you unpaid. Wait. You get exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or even think when you involve yourself with God, because that is God's mind concerning you. So if God is like that, and he's asking us to develop an attitude of gratitude, I'm like, God, well, help us. What does gratitude help us to do? So I have a few for you. I'll give some examples of believers' thankfulness in New Testament. Paul, heavily persecuted. Paul, who was in prison. Paul, who went through so much drama. Paul declares this: thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ Jesus, and through us spread everything the fragrance of the knowledge of him. That's 2 Corinthians. Wait, Paul says, wait, God always causes us to do what? To triumph, to win. Wait, what are you saying? I don't care how it looks to you in the midst of your situation. You need to be thankful. Why? Because God always causes us to win. Hello? Ain't no defeat in God. God, you ain't coming second with God. You first always. Hear this. I have something else for you to consider. Hebrews 12 and 28. Peter gives this reason to be thankful. He says, for grief of all different kinds. Be thankful, even in grief, in struggle, in hardship, in times of loss, saying that through this hardship, our faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, honor when Christ himself is revealed in us. So the more you endure and be thankful, the more God is seen in your life. But I'm like, God, I've heard these things. I've preached these things. I want something a little more practical to encourage people's heart this morning, Father. I don't want them to hear what they've always been hearing. We should be thankful because God is worthy of our thanksgiving. It is not only right to credit him, but we need to understand that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Up to now, you're still in here. Anything that you've not heard from me, how does thankfulness then really benefit you in more ways than so? I wish to submit to you, when we are thankful, we would recognize that thankfulness is also protective. Trust me, thankfulness is protective. What do I mean? Showing gratitude towards others, showing gratitude towards God, is a form of divine protection. Pastor, you have to be crazy. No, I'm not. When you show gratitude, it guards you from envious feelings. Hear me and hear me well. When you show gratitude to God and to people, when you, as I've shared about 3 weeks ago, recognize that even when people bless you, it's because God has used people to pour things into your life. Because he says, press down, shaking together shall who? Men pour into your bosom. So even when people come your way unsuspectingly and give you stuff or open doors for you or do things for you, it is God using people to bless you. When you are thankful to these people and to God, it stops you and it guards you and protects you from the spirit of envy. Because you will never look at other people, oh, Father, help me, and think yourself less or think them better or special because they probably have more than you. You will recognize that God is ultimately the God who provides. And when you show that attitude, you are thankful for the state you're in. That is why Paul said, as I preached 2 weeks ago, he had learned to be thankful in every situation and circumstance, in good days and bad days, because anyhow you take it, God is good. Now, when you develop that attitude and people pour into your life, then you will not have to worry about other people. And it will also open your liberal attitude to bless others, because as much is given, much is required. And you realize, since God has been good and you're giving God thanks and you're appreciating that God used other people, you make yourself open to God to be used by God to bless others. So you are blessed to be a blessing. It's an attitude that opens doors for us. You ain't gonna be jealous and envious. The other thing you will must understand that feelings of resentment, when you have the right attitude towards God, are diminished. What do I mean by that? Even when people do you bad and you are thankful to God, you will recognize that even the bad they do you blesses you. You ain't understand what I say. I have said to you many times, this is the language of the scripture. I will prepare a table before you in the presence of who? So I tell people, the more enemies you get, the better you should eat. The more people hate you, the better you will look. The more people want to do bad to you and you love God, God has to show you up that He is God over your life. So when you have gratitude to God and the right attitude to God, it doesn't matter what people do you. You don't resent people. You bless God and you thankful to them even when they're bad. That is how you could come to the point and say, when men bless you, you bless them. When they curse you, you bless them still, because you understand that even their curse is a blessing to you. Because when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord going to lift up a standard. Understand, the enemy is not the flood. The flood is the Lord's response to the enemy. He going to push them out. That attitude protects us. Gratitude preserves us. Gratitude adjusts our attitude to say, it is well still. It is well still. They fire you, God is good. They hire you, God is still good. They give you, God is good. They withhold from you, God is still good. You get away from the accident, God is good. You crash, God is still good. Because you're living, God is good. Are you following me? You have to understand that it protects us. Gratitude is an attitude that protects you. Oh, children, please understand the scripture. Say, honor your mother and your father if you want your days to be long in the land. It is gratitude. It's an attitude. You don't have to agree with mommy and daddy, you know. You just have to be obedient. You just have to humble yourself to them. You always think you know. You ain't live yet enough to know better than mommy and daddy. You could have more degrees than a thermometer. Mommy out here 60 years, she knows certain things that you will never know. Daddy passed through certain things that you ain't know yet. If you trust the Lord and be gracious towards Him, He will honor you being obedient to them. That is gratitude. That is gratitude. Let me give you something else. Relationships are strengthened when people have gratitude. Oh, Thanksgiving. You marry your wife long, long time, living happy and all of that. But you know, they say complacency steps in when you just get comfortable doing certain things certain way, and you get accustomed to it, and there's no problem. Alas, as a husband, you really thank your wife for a simple thing like a meal that tastes real good. Oh boy, you should have seen my behavior in the kitchen this morning. Will you make it, Skylar? This is the first time I eat in probably years on a Sunday morning before I come to church. That food too nice. Everybody ain't coming by me this evening, Thanksgiving, and eating all the food me and taste yet. I'm just telling all you straight, all you passing by me later, I taste the food already. And I'm telling you, oh, yo, I start to dance in the kitchen. I am gracious for small things. This week, one morning I end up late. You know why I end up late? because my wife jumped out of bed. My wife is not a morning person. Trust me, you all, it's hard work to get her out of bed. She don't like to get up early. She's not lazy. She's just not a morning person. Are you following me? And this is not now. This is years. She born so. You understand what I'm saying? Since we get married early, I outside early morning prayer meeting. I probably get her out one time to a prayer meeting. And after that prayer meeting, it was two she went. Her first and her last. Because I outside in church 4 o'clock in the morning. My wife don't know what is 4 o'clock in the morning. You talk to Misha at 4 o'clock in the morning, she will answer you and everything and can't tell you nothing next day. This week, my wife got up early and ran downstairs and made one fancy omelette. You think I studied work? I is the boss. Could go anytime. Employees are keys. I sit down and I eat. When I eat, I was thankful. I watch her say, hey, girl, thank you for this. After all these years, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. When you show gratitude in relationships, husbands, wives, children to parents, parents to children, colleagues on work, family, uncle, aunt, granny, whoever, when you develop an attitude of gratitude and you are thankful for love, for attention, for the very presence. They had to bring a present. They just have to come. The presence is enough. When you are gracious towards them and appreciate them, it builds strength in relationship. You will be able to endure hardship because you're going to remember, hey boy, they were grateful to me for so-and-so at so-and-so time. So even when they say something that offend you, you will soon forget because you know the heart is towards being gracious and thankful to you. But when you're here, you have this different kind of way where you want to take everything for granted and show no gratitude at all. Pressure. Woman get up and work hard. Clean up house, cook everything. You come home, you eat, you rub your belly, you belch, you ain't say thanks, you go on bed, and then when she come to bed, you want to pull she. No. Right now, she angry. She ain't no time for you. You're ungraceful. Look, leave me alone. I'm tired. Oh, yes. Plenty of husbands get a tired line. Sometimes what they're really tired of is your ingratitude. They ain't tired physically, you know. They're tired of you not acknowledging them the way you should. Because don't care how tired they are. When you show gratitude and you're excited, you even get there and do some stuff with them. With a little tired body, they will still enjoy you. Why? Because that is the truth. That's spiritual too, eh? Scripture says, enjoy the wife of your youth. If you enjoy the wife or your youth and you treat her right in your old age, you're going to still enjoy each other. Sister Annette outside, I could say it. Even when you have to take out your teeth and put it in the glass next to the table, you're going to gum it out because God is good. God is good. Gratitude protects you. Gratitude enhances your relationship. It is something God is teaching us when he instructs us to be gracious. Oh, I have some more for you. Since God set the example himself and said, listen, I ain't gonna forget. Why dare you forget? And please don't be so spiritual, or I should say religious, that you could only thank God and you're forgetting the people that God used to bless you. Did that gift fall from heaven? Hello? Sometimes Sister Han talk about being alone, living alone. As I tell all of you anyhow, look for us, but our wife, not get married. God didn't really want us to grow all alone. I'm serious about that. Nothing on anybody who alone. God will give you grace. God will show his presence and he will send people around and all of that. But it is good to have a companion when you're growing old. And whoever ain't want to agree with that, you're stubborn and need to learn. It is not good to be alone. And that is what the scripture teaches. But understand this. Even when you are alone, you get so religious and spiritual that you want to get in a corner and only talk to God and nobody else ain't ringing that phone. No neighbor ain't knocking your door. Nobody ain't coming and look for you. Trust me, you won't miss that. You know why? because we are social beings. God created us to socialize. God wants us to be able to have connection. Hence, you find yourself in church because church is your family. Oh, you understand that? We are members together. We nurture and strengthen each other. We encourage each other through difficult times and seasons. And then you always have people who will call on you, check in on you, just a little text or a little email, a little smiley face, a little heart, something to let you know that you're not alone. All of that plays in when we understand what it is to be gracious to other people and to give thanks. Thank God for them, but thank them for being them. Thank them for being there. Thank them for the call. Thank them for the visit. Thank them for the food. It is something that indeed enhances our lives. That's why it's an instruction to us. That's why God said, do it in all circumstances, in all situations. So be thankful to God when you get the promotion and you have plenty money. Yes. Be thankful to God, but be thankful to the other people who help open the doors for you. Be thankful for those who endured with you while you were coming up when you were nobody and they helped you along. Be thankful to those who helped you write the paper. Be thankful to them who helped you fill out the application. Be thankful to them who sent the opportunity your way. Always be thankful. And being thankful means that you remember. Oh, watch the verse good. He says, hey, I will not be unjust to forget. Wait, what does he say? Hey, forgetting people is unjust. Oh, y'all didn't read it like that. Hello? Forgetting people is the opposite of gratitude. It's a poor attitude to forget people. Do not forget the people who invested in your life. Do not forget the people who were a blessing to you. Do not forget people. It's wrong. It's unjust. It's poor. You ain't no believer in God when you just plain forgetting people. That ain't good. If it ain't good for God, it good for us? You think it's good for us? No, it's not. So we protect ourselves from falling into the type of mindset, the practices, the emotions that are sinful. We protect ourselves when we are gracious. We enhance our relationships when we are gracious, when we have gratitude towards people, when we are thankful towards people. When we are thankful to others, we protect ourselves from being unjust. How many of you have done things for people and you feel real bad that they never even turn back? They never show any appreciation for what you did. And some of us who ain't really reached where we should be yet, you'll sit down and say, well, you know what? That is two blessings they get from me, you know. The first and the last. Nothing for them again. And as we say back, salt. That is all they're getting. Nothing else. Because of their attitude. Now, they missed out because of their attitude, but you don't allow their attitude to rob you of your blessing. You cannot. You have to be thankful to God that you had opportunity. You have to be thankful to God that you had resources to help. And what do? You help still. Yes, you keep doing it. Why? How many times God has do it to you? How many times we have disappointed God and God has always come true? God remains good to us. If God is consistently good, what should be your attitude? I'm going to practice it. And that is how even your enemies that see you eat well. Oh, you all in understand? You all don't know why I talk about it. No, people are like, oh, and this is a phrase. I just despise this phrase, but it's all over the place. Oh, don't worry, them is haters. Everybody's a hater now. Everything is hater and hater and hater. What is hater? Somebody objectively say something, they are hater. Because you ain't like what they say, they are hater. Who is a hater? Really? Let's be honest. Some of us need somebody hate. to address some of our own folly and foolishness. What you call in hate really sometimes is just some rebuke and some correction that you needed. Be thankful for the haters too, the Bible says. You know why? The scripture says it this way. If you have friends who will only tell you good things about you, they ain't good for you. Hello, they unhealthy. If you're so insecure that you only need people tapping your ego and encouraging you, telling you how beautiful you are, and this and that and the next, you are inferior. You are weak for it. You are not going to benefit. You need some strong people in your life who will plain be honest with you and tell you the truth. Because some people mirror us lie. Plenty of people. My wife could tell you, I just get real kicks with it. This week, customer of mine brought a young woman to the shop. She should have stayed in the car. From the time she come out the car, I say, wait. In my mind, you know, it's like, because I can't tell her. It's a big, mature woman. It's like, come on. So I did what I do all the time because me and my wife, we have fun together. Took a little snap and I sent her a WhatsApp. I said, baby, look what I'm dealing with in my shop. She gave me the appropriate response. I called the gentleman aside afterwards later and I said, listen, between me and Yonting, you need to address certain things. You can't be bringing people out like that when you care about them. I ain't blame her, you know. I blame him. You can't be bringing people out like that when you care about them. My wife could tell you, we weren't married yet. Went to pick up one time to go cinema. Those of us who come from Trinidad and know where Planet Cinema is, one taxi to Cape Junction to Planet Cinema. Me step outside from the time she reached the gallery, and she said, hey, turn around. She said, what? I said, back inside. You're going out looking like that. We weren't married yet. When you care about people, you tell them the truth. Hello? All of that is being gracious to God and being thankful in all situations because you have an opportunity to help people. That is help. You don't want people outside to be spoken of and laughed and mocked at when you care about them. When you care about them, you tell them the truth and protect them. All of that is gratitude. Oh, Pastor, you're really serious? Yes, I'm serious. Why are you serious? How the Holy Spirit works in your life. Before you say anything, he just convict you. When it comes out of your mouth, he just tell you, hey, that wrong, repent, stop, shut up. Those of us who really have a spirit-filled life, boy, when you stand up in front of your mirror, he just tell you the truth. So people don't have to tell you. You will know. Why? Because that is who God is. So why you can't be that God-like person in somebody else's life? All of that shows when you are gracious because you will remember who God is. There's something else I want to give and I'm going to close right here. There's something else I want you to show. If God considers it unrighteous to forget, and we are not going to forget, then we need to understand certain things about these last days. 2 Timothy 3 and 2. 2 Timothy 3 and 2 says this. Wicked people, I'm just paraphrasing it for you, will be ungrateful. Hear me well, eh? The people of God are thankful because they realize how much they have been given. That's our attitude. We are who we are because of who God is. I say all the time, I am who I am because of the great I am that I am. Who I was is no more because God has taken care of me. Are you following me? But hear this. In these last days, according to 2 Timothy 3 and 2, one of the traits of this generation is being ungrateful. They lack the attitude of thanksgiving. This whole generation, this end time generation. That's what the scripture says. That's not my opinion. You go check the verse. We watch young people today and we point our hands on them and say, oh my gosh. But look at, yesterday I saw some videos of some children acting up in school and embarrassing the teachers and cursing and want to fight and all kind of thing. And I'm like, This is nothing new. It's prevalent. I know it ain't nothing new because I hit a teacher when I was in primary school. Me. I come from real far. And in my days, people would pelt you. Principal beat you with his sandals. Okay? I had a principal called Mr. Garcia. He used to wear about a size 13 or 14. I know them old English leather socks. Only too young, boy. I had to speak to old. Brother, you all remember them sandals, them teachers, them used to wear them brown leather sandals with thing and all the toes outside and stuff? What do you call them? Okay. Mr. Garcia will take that sandals off and hold the heel. And you see the fat in step pad there? He put his hand in your pocket or your pants and he wring it so it cushion your butt good. And he will clap that sandals on your butt. I am telling you, if your parents impress your pants, it's straight when you reach home. All the seam come out of it when Mr. Garcia finish with you. Okay? And in the midst of that generation, I had a teacher called Miss Hippolyte. Come and snatch me by my collar. Pop my button. And I was the neatest, sharpest thing in school. Mommy ironed my shirt, seam cut straight and neat. I used to pride myself in coming home straight. Pop my button and shaking me so like if I some kind of shack or something. And Miss Hippolyte was an elderly lady. She was close to retirement age. And one of the times when she pulled me in, so as I come in, pow, I take, as they say, God out of your thought. And I let Miss Hippolyte have it. Don't be pulling me up like that. The shock that went through the class, the place get quiet. Miss Hippolyte, watch me. Of course she let me go. She say, young boy, you slap me, and she take off for the office. I know it's Mr. Garcia she going for, the principal office. I know Mr. Garcia Sanders. I take off for home. You understand? Father have to come in school. So happen Mr. Garcia in the middle of election is Mr. PNM, and my father is Mr. PNM. And them start to talk, PNM talk, and them arguing, PNC, PNM, and in them days was D something or something like that. And they argue, and they argue, and they argue, and they carry on, and they laugh, and they talk, and they shake hands, and my butt was spared. But after that, I ain't hitting, but Miss Hippolyte ain't telling me nothing again, because Mr. Rude, if I had continued down that journey, well, you might not know me today, no. Because there were some in my generation, a lot of them who are buried. There's a particular gentleman in our village. When I give my heart to the Lord, I went to him and I told him. I said, listen, you have to stop what you're doing in this community called Kelly. My mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my wife, all of them here, they could verify with all that. His name was Martin Joseph. I give my heart to the Lord and I go to Martin because I used to be on the corner with them with all the drugs and things. And I keep telling Martin, Martin, you need to stop what you're doing in this village. He's the biggest weed pusher in the village. Drugs too bad. Have a whole set of young boy doing all kind of thing. And he getting big and he getting money and he buying all kind of house, build all kind of big fancy mansion. Two of them in the village, huge. All his place, guard up high fence with barbed wire all around. Let me tell you the end of Mr. Martin, why in this generation you have to be careful with people are ungrateful and people don't want to understand. I keep telling him, boy, God has been good to you. Stop this nonsense. You have enough. Stop this thing. He ain't stop. Wife kill him. Okay? Wife get another little drug boy to kill him. His little nephew, who used to push for him, dead in the village. Shoot, dead in the village. Okay? His children, girls, one boy. His boy, he both ways. His daughters, trouble. All of them, trouble. One doing a little kind of halfway right now. She started to catch herself. The next two, gangster men, all of them dead. Police killed them. You have children, you have no children, father. His properties overtaken by all kind of street people. Nobody ain't getting rent for them. It ain't no windows, it ain't no doors, it ain't no toilet. The thief out everything. And people living in it and they're using rooms as toilets. Two set of property for the biggest property in the village. That is the end of what going on. And up to this time, his second generation after him, these young boys in the village, killing one another still. The house he lived in, that everybody thought, they used to call him the king, eh? The house he lived in on the top of the corner where my mother-in-law lived and my wife born and grew and my daughter born and grew. They could tell you what the house is now. It is nothing but walls, a few walls and bush over it. It have no roof. It have nothing. His whole history in the community is nothing but disaster. Debt and more debt. The demise of a whole generation. Because over and over you were cautioned to recognize who God is and be grateful. Even give time to give thanks. I have no need for God. I could buy anything I want. Let me share something with you. In this time, this is the attitude of the world. Nobody don't want to hear about God. Why they put God out of the school? They don't want your children to hear about God. Why it is you cannot find zoning in this city for churches? You don't want no church in this city. Anywhere you apply, they tell you, oh, no zone. No zone. You all have been with us on our journey. How many churches we've rented? What are those churches today? Buildings. You know why? Because the city want taxes. They don't want God. The Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the United Church, those three are the three fastest dying churches in all of Canada and the world. When you approach the Anglican board, the Catholic board, or the United board for their property as a church, you're not getting it. They're putting you against builders to compete. You think we could buy a building when Mr. Jewish, whoever with his billion, want to build a high rise and paying them five times the money? You think the church, considering the fact that, okay, we are a dying church, let the next church get it? No, they're on business. They're selling it to builders and developers. What is happening in the city? More and more people come in, less and less churches. And then we ask ourselves why things are this way. Because people have no time for God. People have no time to be gracious to God. You get up and your breathing is an opportunity to say thanks. You have food to eat is an opportunity to say thanks. You have people in your life who love you. It's an opportunity to say thanks. And even when you have people in your life who hate you and despisefully say wicked things against you, it's an opportunity to say thanks. Let me tell you something. If you ain't blessed with something, nobody has no reason to hate you. So be gracious. Hello. The only reason, you could tell me what you want. The only reason people will be against you because something about you provoking them. Let it be something good. Let it be something good and be gracious unto God. Why? Because this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. It is not just to acknowledge who God is, but it's to acknowledge how he uses other people to be good to us. Press down, shake, and together shall men pour into your bosom. You don't have relationship with men. We don't get it from our ghost. I asked a brother with his wife, and I close with this, recently visited me, him, his wife, and his daughter. And they said to me, Pastor, they knew us. They knew us very well. They knew when we came and where we were and all of that. They say, Pastor, God has been really good to you, man. Look at that. Look at you. Look at your wife. Look where you all are and this and that. And he's going on and on. And I stopped him. I said, listen, We didn't come here to start businesses and stuff. That was not our plan. We came here at an invitation to pastor a church. That's what we came to do. And when that fell through, it didn't change who we are. We've been pastoring since we've been married. Even before we married, I'm preaching. My wife was leading worship and singing with the district choir in Trinidad. So we always who we were. Titles don't make you. So when you don't have a church and you're a pastor, what do you do? If you're really a pastor, then you start one. Because that's who I am. You follow me? The business that we do, that's what we do. But who we are servants of God. You follow me? Servants of God could only do one thing. Serve God. Whether you have a title or not, you're a servant. So you serve God. So you're looking at us and you're talking about how God has blessed us and whatnot and whatnot and whatnot. Everything that God has done for us in this life, right in this country here, from 2005 to now, every door God has opened, God opened it through people that we did not know. Just start talking to people. I walked off the street into a bank, talked to somebody. The first person I met in the bank happened to be the bank manager. No appointment set, nothing. I just walk in. She is holding on for the customer service person who does normally greet people. She went to the washroom when I walk into the bank. You think that's coincidence? Let me ask you again. You think that's coincidence? Her name was Niggin Company. She's Iranian. When the lady comes back, she said, come into my office. When I walk down to the back, last office in the back, I see manager. I was like, okay, good. Start to talk. Cut a long story short, Niggin Company says to me, so I have a friend who could help you with a mortgage. Who is her? Her name is Livia Pellegrini, Italian. Could I give her your number? Yes. Surely the goodness of God, I'm going to testify. Livia calls my phone the evening. Mr. Yearwood, your friend Niggin. Wait. I met Niggin today. Niggin shared a whole lot of things with me that you don't talk in bank business. I got to know her whole history coming from Iran, how she's treated as a woman, the men in her life, her cousins, all of them, how they're blessing them, but nobody cares for her because she's female. I found out all of that in a meeting that went on an hour and a half, and 10 minutes she handled my business. Your friend Niggin. She said, I could come to your house or you could meet me at the office at that branch. I have an office there. I never even use it. But I could meet you there tomorrow or I could come to your house, which is your choice. I say, I'll meet you at the office. These people, I still have their cell phone numbers on my phone. These people are no longer with RBC, but I still have contact with them, okay? Miss Livia Pellegrini looks at me. Mr. Yearwood, I understand and I have all your profile and yes, and TD says you're qualified for so, but what do you want? That's a God question. Let me tell all you, be thankful to God. Because God does do things that men can't do. She says, this is what you're qualified through and true. But what do you want, Mr. Yearwood? If you don't understand, you miss opportunity. She said, what do you? That's a question God does ask. What can I do for you? You understand? I said, well, I need $350,000, you know, because that money you're giving me, they can't really buy what I want. She said, $350. You sure? Yes. I still have the documents home. If you visit my house, I could show you it. A long piece of a yellow sheet. She pull and she start to write. She write. Then she write down two phone numbers. She stamp it. She turn it around and she hold the pen from the top and she read all the way down and she tell me what it is she write there. She say, hey, 6 months you have to find your house. 2.95 interest. This is the number for my office. This is my personal cell phone number. Don't give it to anybody. But if for any reason you run into difficulty, call me. Do you have an agent, Mr. Yearwood? No. She said, well, I have someone, you know. Hey, all they don't understand what I say. Be thankful to God. We found an Englishman by the name of Walker. Notice all the people I talk about, I am black. an Iranian, an Italian, and an Englishman. The Englishman say, no contract, you know. We will just go find what you want, and you tell me. When you're happy, put a tick, and we go check it out. It all worked out. The man picking us up and driving us, and we going all about. We end up in with B, exactly where we wanted to be. The man look at the house. We said the price was too much. We went away. But 2 weeks later, we going back up. He drive to the same house, and he pull up. He said, this is the only place you all have come so far where you all happy. So let's go. We going to try to get it. Hello. I live in exactly where made us smile. Are you following me? I'm showing you something that I want you to understand is day to give thanks. Be grateful to God in small things and watch how God does work things out for you. God worked it all out. You know why I'm still in contact with all of them, including Mr. Walker? I never forgot. And I thank God for them. I thank God for the way he blessed them to open doors for me. And every opportunity I get to open a door for somebody, I will open it wide because God has been good. So there's no way you could come to me for help and I happen to know something or know someone and ain't tell you. I will make the calls. I'll introduce you. I'll do all I can to help. Why? Because God has proven himself to me. It's an attitude you have to have. Because God says, I will cause men to pour. You feel that that had to do with money alone. No. People just pour blessing by opening ways for you. Opening doors for you. I could testify and go on and on. I could tell you about the way God has done things in my children's life and where they are today. God used people to open doors for them. You know why I share these things with you? Because God always wants your benefit. And when he says be grateful, when he says be thankful in all circumstances, you practice that and you will see. Because it connects you, it protects you, and it opens ways for you. Because God is looking out and he don't ever forget. Hello. God don't ever forget. So none of you in here ever forget the goodness of God, nor the people God use to bless your life. In all circumstances, be thankful to God, for that is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus. Bow your heads with me. Praise the name of the Lord God. Father, we give you thanks today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are God all by yourself. We thank you that you're not a forgetful God. We thank you for the investment you've made in our lives, and you will continue to be who you are. So we are thankful today. Father, every head bowed in this place, I speak blessing into their lives. All connected to us via Zoom, Father, I speak blessings into their lives. I pray, God, that you would cause us to adjust our attitude, that we will exhibit the type of gratitude that pleases you, that in all our ways, we will acknowledge you and watch you direct our path. We thank you for the people in our lives, Father, who you've sent to be a blessing to us, who used to provide things that we need. You are the God who have supplied our need according to your riches in glory. We know you lack nothing. You never suffer for a recession. You, God, have no concern about inflation, interest rate, income tax, or interest charges. You are a God who meets all our needs. So we thank you, Father, for supplying, even giving abundantly, abounding each much more than we can ask or even think. Because you are God, we are gracious today. And with this attitude, we say from our hearts, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for all good and pleasing things come from you. So we bless you today, our Father, in no other name but the name Jesus. And church, if you agree with me, can we say amen? I ain't hear you. One more time. Praise the name of the Lord. You are not thankful.